Hello everyone and welcome to episode 11 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown. This episode is going to be me and Scott are going to be breaking down a recent tournament that we had at Gamers Asylum in Ogden, Utah. Scott ran Vader Grievous, and that is primarily going to be the topic on which we'll be discussing. I know it feels like this list is being talked about a lot on the Slack and here on the podcast, and I think the reason why is because as we're heading into I guess our first competitive season in terms of preparing for LVO and things like that, it seems that this list is going to be the nut that needs to be cracked, at least while we're waiting for more things to be released and kind of seeing how the meta settles. It's the problem to solve, I guess, is the reason why. So we're going to be talking about that. Before we get into this episode, first off, so this is episode 11. Episode 10 came and went without fanfare. Sorry about that. We want to thank everybody for listening. It is a ton of fun to record the episodes and has been really heartening to see the growth in the listeners over the last few weeks. So we want to thank everyone for listening to the podcast. We'd encourage you to join the Slack. For those of you who are listening and have not yet joined, you should. We have a lot of fun discussing list building, a lot of strategy, paint jobs, everything like that. It is obviously not meant to be something. We have a lot of people on the Slack who are also involved in Discord and Facebook and everything like that. And you should in no way think of the Slack as some kind of substitute for those other communities. It's just a place where some of us like to gather and talk about Shatterpoint. We have a ton of fun with it. So join the Slack. Please rate and review the podcast and answer the poll question that we will have following if you are listening on Spotify. Okay, so for the other things in the introduction, first off, for organized play, on October 14th, we have a tournament that's going to be happening. It's going to be a Utah tournament. It's a Zi-Fi tournament. We haven't decided quite what to name it, and we're probably going to be hosting it at Demolition Games or Gamers Asylum. We're trying to figure out exactly which one will be the best fit for us. But that's going to be October 14th. We will have some custom swag that we'll be giving away, and we're going to talk with the store and see if there's anything else to do. There's also one more. There is an event coming up on September 16th in Twin Falls, Idaho. Okay, so what this is, it's a Shatterpoint tournament that's going to be happening at Black Dragon Games. We will have a link for it in the show notes. There is a Facebook event that you can check out. So Twin Falls is about 3 hours away from Salt Lake, so it might be a little bit too far for me to make it on a Saturday, but it's going to be a great event. I think they've got a pretty good local scene, and it'll just be a fun opportunity to get some games in a competitive setting. I don't know if it's going to be a premier format event or if it's just going to be a bring a list event, but you know, we'll have a link for it. You can check it out. We'd really encourage everyone who can make it to go. Next is, so LVO is happening at the end of January. LVO is the Las Vegas Open, and what it is it's a huge wargaming miniatures convention that happens in Vegas every year. We have gone for the past several years. We went for IA originally. Players have gone for X-Wing. Last year, me and the brothers all went down. They went to play Shatterpoint. I'm sorry, not Shatterpoint. They went to play MCP. I went to play X-Wing, but because I'm a lawyer who is a sucker, I ended up working the whole time, so I didn't actually end up playing any X-Wing, which is fine, because I was just going to lose. Point is, we've gone every year. It's a really fun event, and there's just like a, it's just for those of you who are wanting to get good competitive games in, it's going to be a great opportunity. So like I said, so LVO, they will have MCP stuff, they will have X-Wing stuff, they will have Armada, Legion, all of the miniatures games that you could want to play, they will have events for. They're also going to have a Shatterpoint event. So what they have currently planned to do is they're going to do, it's kind of going to be a casual play night, but I'm actually working with the organizers to see, not that we're not going to make it like a super competitive event or anything, but first off, they didn't have very many open spots because they are limited by the number of terrain. But coordinating with other members of the Slack, we are going to be able to supply enough terrain that we can have more people. They opened it up to, I think, 20 slots or something, which pretty much instantly sold out. So they're trying to open it again. What I'm doing is on the Slack, we're trying to coordinate people who can take down painted Shatterpoint compatible terrain to LVO. So you don't need to be going to LVO, although we'd love it if you could. But all we're trying to do is figure out who has painted terrain that they could make available for a Shatterpoint event. What the hope is that it's going to be kind of a semi-competitive. I'd like to run it as a premier format event just so we can have good experience with that. But it's not going to be like a Worlds qualifier or anything. It's going to be a fun tournament. Like, Scott is planning to go to LVO to play MZP. And he's obviously, that he will be playing competitively, very competitively. And I assume we'll have other brothers, local brothers, who will be doing the same. But for someone like me, I'm just going to go, you know, play Shatterpoint, play board games, just kind of hang out. Because, I mean, like I said, we just have a ton of fun when we go down. So, if you were thinking of going to LVO, but were worried because there wasn't a Shatterpoint event that seemed accessible, you should plan to go to LVO, because I think we're going to be able to make it happen. And also, if you're planning on going but need additional information, ask me on the Slack, and I'm working with the organizers, Frontline Gaming, in order to see what's going on. So sorry for that kind of long-winded thing, but you should come to LVO. It'll be a ton of fun. Okay. Last but not least, we have other content creators who released episodes this last week. So Rogue Support, they had a really fun episode. It was called Hello Vader, and they had Jesse from Hello There on to talk about Shatterpoint. It was just like a really fun podcast. Obviously, Rogue Support guys are awesome. Jesse's awesome, and they have a great rapport, and it was really fun listening to them talk. Momentous Struggle released a really good episode talking about the premier format and building for the premier format and kind of different strategies for that. I hate to say that we are going to shamelessly copy them, but we are going to shamelessly copy them at some point in the future, because I think that building premier format lists is going to be a really fun and very difficult part of competitive play. So at some point we are going to shamelessly copy them and do an episode on that, but you should listen to them discuss, because you'll have lots of thoughts. Jedi's Order and Hello There both released episodes. So Jedi's Order, they did a preview of the Cad and Padme boxes, which is they should be releasing next week. And then Hello There did an analysis of the Mace box. So Mace has since released, and I personally think Mace is awesome. So you should check out those podcasts in order to see if you're on the fence with either Mace, Mama T, Cad, or Padme. You should check them out and see what you guys think. Although they don't talk about Mama T except tangentially. Okay, last. I'm sorry, I said the other thing was last, but this is actually last. I'm not going to, so the next episode that's going to be recorded, I'm not going to be on, because Scott and I are going to Kansas, to watch some baseball games and have fun. And so I'm not going to be, available this week to record. However, I want to just quickly give a shout out to a recent game that I played with Scott. So Scott was Scott is just on the Grievous Vader wagon. And I mean, for those of you who know Scott, Vader Grievous is just like the most perfectly encapsulated Scott list that has ever existed in the history of Star Wars miniatures fandom. I mean, Scott is a very aggressive, gets in your grill, makes optimal decisions in terms of taking people out, puts a ton of pressure on the board. Like, that is like Scott's play style. So Vader Grievous is just the wagon that he is riding all the way to the Promised Land. And so it's been really good, because he's kind of been just smacking us around, but it's been good to test out a bunch of different lists. So we played at JK's house, me and Scott, and then JK and Matt played. And I wanted to run Ahsoka Dooku into Vader Grievous and see how it did. Now, I lost in the third struggle, and I will say that I think that Dooku Ahsoka has some serious play into Vader Grievous. At the very least, that style has serious play. The reason why is because Vader Grievous is just all about putting pressure on the board, wounding somebody every activation. I mean, the list is definitely busted. I mean, their ability to consistently wound every single activation is just kind of ridiculous. I mean, like, the only people who aren't wounding on their activation is like Obi-2, and then whoever you've got in either like the Fifth Brother, Super Commando slot. Like, those are like the only ones that aren't for sure wounding somebody, and everybody else, like, you can just plan on is going to wound somebody. So I didn't build this Ahsoka Dooku list. Sam talked about this Ahsoka Dooku list, and I kind of built a variation on it in order to see if the punishment that Ahsoka and Dooku have when their team characters get wounded, if that would be enough to counter Vader Grievous. Now, like I said, I lost, but this is my first time running Dooku, who is crazy good defensively, and It was a great list. Like, it honestly felt very strong. And so I think also, I mean, JK talked about Mama T in our last episode. I think Mama T Ahsoka, Mama T Dooku or Ahsoka Dooku. The reason why I think Dooku is core is because Dooku allows you to take Jango and Magna Guards, who are just like the best, you know, the best secondary, maybe besides Kalani, and absolutely the best supporting unit. It allows you to take that package. And then the other, so Ahsoka is taking OB2. And then, you know, a third unit. And then Mama T is taking OB2 and the Night Sisters. Those are kind of like the pairings that I think are going to make that list hum, at least right now. And it's got play. It definitely has play. So if you're kind of a more control-focused player, you're not really so much into the hyper-aggro, I would encourage everybody to give something like that a try. Play into the Vader Grievous and see how you feel about it. Okay, so with that, let's turn to the episode. Scott and I are going to be talking about the tournament at Gamers Asylum, and we'll see you on the other side. Thanks so much, guys. Have a good day. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 11 of Zion's Finest. This is Kenny Brown, and I'm joined by my brother, Scott.
Hello.
For news, the only news that we've really got right now is that the Zyfy tournament that we're planning for October 14th, 2023 is going to be awesome. We'd encourage everyone to show up. If you're in Utah, obviously, we're going to try and have it either, we think, at Gamers Asylum or Demo. Kind of depends on who is going to have the space for us and figuring out the logistics there. If you're from out of town, we would love it if you could come. We will have places for you to stay. We will get you to and from the airport. It'll be a super fun tournament. We'll have some swag. It's going to be a premier event. So bring your four lists, you know, just like a standard competitive event, but it'll also just be a ton of fun. Other news is that we are waiting for the release. The next set of releases that we're waiting for is the Padme Amidala box and the Bounty Hunters, right, Scott? Mm-hmm. Do we have a release date for them?
Nope.
Okay. So
Someone might. I don't.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't know when they're coming out. We just had the Mama Talzin and Mace packs get released, which are awesome. So that's kind of it. What we're waiting for. I asked to see if anyone had an idea as to, Scott, I guess you would probably be the best person to ask about this. Mm-hmm. What is, like, when is MCP, when they do their store champs? Like, it used to be, like, with X-Wing and IA, like, summer was kind of store champ season, fall was regionals, fall, winter was regionals, and then, you know, late winter, early spring was, like, worlds and stuff. Is that how AMG does it?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. So, the way AMG does it is they have kits that stores can buy. They'll have different events. So, similar to, like, the Shatterpoint Initiation Kit. So, it'll be things like, hey, we have alt arts for things. You can come and play in, like, a league. It's kind of like everybody plays three rounds and, you know, a prize support for eight people. Or they'll have actually, if you're interested, at Gamers Asylum, we are planning. I'm working with the like, play area coordinator right now. They have a Peter Parker, like, Parker in Trouble kit, which is an ultimate encounter. So they'll release kits like that.
Okay. They don't have, like, store champs?
No. So not like how IA did.
Okay.
Or any FFG game. It's more of like, hey, we have these qualifying events like LVO,
yeah,
or Nova,
yeah,
or Gen Con,
okay,
where you will go and you can qualify. I believe they're going to have a world tournament,
okay,
probably held at a convention, but it's really, if you want to go play in big tournaments, then you're going to be going to a convention. If you want to play in a tournament at a store, you're basically having a store get you a kit and you're running the tournament.
Okay. That's so it's interesting that they kind of just, like, take off the bottom rung, because they still have, like, effectively regional/nationals giving you an invite to Worlds.
Yeah.
But they just don't have store champs.
But also, like, the whole Worlds thing is also because it's like, well, you get an invitational to, like, this big event and it's like, are you the world champion? So AMG has just kind of run it differently. It's more of a casual competitive environment,
which is cool.
And I also think that's how Shatterpoint's going to be.
Agreed.
You know, and I know that, like, with Legion and Armada, they have kept the whole world qualifying, all that thing.
Yeah.
But, I'm not super versed in what's going on there, but I know that there's been some frustration with the competitive scene about kind of how AMG has made some of those changes.
Yeah.
So the general thing is that most Legion players, Armada players I've talked to, it's like, well, we like these things that AMG's done, and then we don't like these things. It's kind of a mixed bag.
Yeah, it's interesting because it does feel like AMG has dialed down the competitiveness, which is great in terms of, like, broadening the base of accessibility, but it definitely makes, like, the hardcore players are not getting as rigorous of it. I mean, because X-Wing and even IA was a pretty rigorous, you know, you had store champs in order to get buys or whatever at regionals, and regionals was how you were able to play at nationals, is how you were able to play at worlds, right? And so...
Yeah, I mean, you could compete in all of those. These were just ways to get in.
Yeah, and, like, well, yeah, and getting your...
Getting buys, your first-round buy
was a big deal, right?
I know with some, I think, tournaments with, like, didn't you need the invite to compete?
So that's how it became near... closer to the end, I think, was that, especially like with X-Wing, was in order to go to Worlds, you needed an invite. And yeah. So, I mean, IA wasn't that way, but...
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Regardless, we also were just talking about how, apparently, LVO is not planning to have a Shatterpoint, at least right now.
That is what I heard from Will.
Well, we are
the illustrious Will Lewis.
Yeah, Will Lewis would know, and we are going to figure out what we need to do in order to change that, because... We need a Shatterpoint event.
Yeah, we like to go to LVO.
We do.
Because if we go just for MCP, Kenny won't come.
I'll go and then I'll just work like a sucker.
That's what you did last time.
Well, I was planning to play X-Wing, but then I literally had to work the entire time.
Yeah.
I guess I worked all day on, like, I literally, so we all went down to LVO. I was going to play X-Wing. I was going to play Republic. So my job that I'm currently working at is extremely demanding, and... It was probably 8:30 in the morning. We're all getting ready to, like, do registration or whatever, and I get an email from a partner at my firm saying, like, this needs to be done now. And so I spend the next, like, 6 hours working while they're, like, playing tournaments. And then after I'm done with my work, I go down and we play board games or whatever. It was just, like, that was a wild time. Anyway, I want to play Shatterpoint.
We ate good Korean food.
We had amazing Korean food. Okay, so what this episode is going to be is we're going to be discussing a tournament event. It was a game, kind of a day of play event at Gamers Asylum, which is a store in Ogden, Utah.
Yeah, so Gamers Asylum is sort of like, you know, along the Wasatch Front, which is essentially, if you're familiar with Utah, or if not, you can Google Maps it, is from Provo down in Utah County, the place of which we do not speak.
That's right.
Up to Logan in Cache County.
Yep.
Going through Salt Lake, Layton, Ogden, and Gamersum is sort of like this really big store. It's like 20,000 square foot building.
Yep.
That's where I buy all my stuff. That's where we do a lot of events. And basically they're kind of like our home store. And then also we've got, because it's a little close to Kenny, and yeah, Kenny likes them, is Demolition Games.
Yep.
Salt Lake City on 3300 South.
Yep.
So they actually just expanded as well. So they have a lot more play space. So we kind of try and use them as sort of our big areas. So for our tournament, we'll probably do one of those two locations for that.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of events will be held in Utah, if you are in Utah.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is that most of our players are living, that we have been playing with, are living kind of in the Salt Lake, Davis County, Weber County area. And so, I mean, kind of just like the weight of players is there. In Utah County, there is Blackfire Games, which is Gary Taylor's store, and Gary is awesome. He's a great guy.
Good man.
Very good man. He's done a lot to... help when we were playing IA, he did a lot to help us build the community, and I know he's doing a lot with Shatterpoint. He's just like one of those people who makes his store available to build community, and he's awesome. But I mean, it's in Pleasant Grove, which is an hour away.
Yeah,
right. And so I mean,
if we speed,
that's exactly.
I'm a little further away than Kenny is.
Yeah, I mean, it's the reason why. I mean, Blackfire is an awesome store, and Gary's awesome, but it's just for us and for most of the players that we have, Demo and Gamers Asylum is just naturally kind of where we play.
Yeah. So what we did at Gamers Asylum, it wasn't really what you'd call a tournament, more of like a kind of league play, but really more for free play even. So if you're interested in this, you can absolutely talk to your own store, your own friendly local gaming store, about getting an initiation kit, which is what we used, what the store had and offered for us. This was something that AMG released late. It was supposed to actually come out with the launch of the game. And the idea of what the kit is the kit has some, like, three missions that the idea is that everyone is supposed to play. Honestly, it's kind of a tutorial.
Yeah.
It's like they're learning, because it's like, hey, just play with one squad.
Yep.
And then, oh, well, now we're going to introduce momentum. It's like, and then the final mission is just play a full game.
Yeah.
So it's not like special missions or anything. It's mostly you know, but we did not follow that. We didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
But what it comes with is, it comes with alt art cards.
Foils.
Like foils, you know, yeah. For, I actually don't even think they're alt art. It is just foils. No,
it's just foils.
Of Asajj, Anakin, Ahsoka, and Maul.
Yep. Which so, are sick.
They are really cool. They're worth having.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. But yeah, so we just did, I played two games, Kenny played two games.
Yep. So what it kind of became is they had a first pairing for of the game, and then it was honestly just kind of a free play event. And so we're going to talk, what this episode is going to be is Scott Rann, Vader Grievous.
Vader Grievous.
We're going to talk about that. Before we do, because Scott, obviously, he did really well, and that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. But what I want to do is, first off, so Will Lewis, who is in our local group.
Hallowed be his name.
I can't say that.
I can say whatever you want. Can. I'm an American.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought this was America. Okay, so Will Lewis, he played IA with us for a little bit.
One tournament.
Well, what happened was, he came in literally at the end of the game's life cycle when Spectre Cell is released. He shows up. We give him Spectre Cell. We're like, it's a busted list. And I think he made like the top cut.
He made the cut.
Yeah. And the reason why I'm saying that Will is really good at games is because, so Will has been kind of pushing this list called, he's calling it More Machine Than Man. And what it's, Vader Grievous. But it's Vader with Jango Magna Guards, and then it is Grievous with, it's Vader with Obi-2 Magna Guards, and then Grievous with Jango and
Fifth Brother.
And so he's been pushing this list. He came up with it, I don't know, like, I mean, it was a while ago, yeah. Where he was saying, like, I feel like this list is really strong, it's got good offense, good power, everything like that. And we started playing it a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
and
I tried it out against Kenny.
And we've just seen it's an incredibly strong list.
So it's hard to find a weak point.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is Scott's going to talk about how his... Because Scott, that's what Scott played. Yeah. Well,
I played a variation that I had with it.
Yeah. Before he does, I just want to say, so I played Mace Obi.
Obi-Wan or Obi-2?
Obi-Wan. So it was Mace, Obi-Wan. And the reason why was, we didn't run this tournament or this event as a premier event. It was kind of just bring a list. Everyone kind of brought a bunch of stuff, but like it was like bring a list and play your list. So I was like, I had played Mace with JK, and I'm like, Mace is super strong. I kind of want to play him again, so I played Mace Obi. My game was against Taylor, who is Justin Chavez's son, who was running Seps, who was running Dooku Grievous. And we had a serious scrum. It was really interesting, though, because
He had Dooku and Grievous. Who were his secondaries and who were his supports?
So, yeah, it was just it was Dooku, Kraken, B1s, or Magna Guards, Grievous, Kalani, B1. So he had his supporting characters were B1s and Magnas, and his secondaries were Kraken and Kalani.
Okay.
So I mean, just like droid power. Right?
Yeah, droid power.
And
I think that's exactly what I played against. Will ran that I played against.
Really, it's a super strong list. It's got obviously lots of out of activation stuff. It's a really cool list. Mace is awesome. And what really ended up happening was Mace and Obi-Wan kind of soloed their lists. Like Mace one-shot Grievous. He did 11 damage to Grievous, which felt freaking awesome. And like those two, my clones kind of melted, but those two were able to do enough. And I used Barriss I had my secondaries were Barriss and Pawns. And Barriss was really being used to amp up Mace, make his offensive more consistent, and then obviously be able to, with her offense becoming more consistent with Faithful Padawan, trying to get off her force push. So it's a really cool list. I don't think it's there, the Mace Obi-Wan list, but they're obviously a really good pairing. We had talked about maybe having Mace Lumi, which seems also like, you know, I mean, with Lumi's really awesome, and maybe that is like a good pairing. I mean, right now your clones are kind of, you've got to take the ARF troopers if you're taking Mace. And then it's Republic Commandos. So we'll kind of see how that gets flushed out as the Handmaidens come out and everything like that, or as these Bounty Hunters come out. It's a cool list. I'm not sure it's quite there, but Mace is awesome. The great thing about Mace is that Mace doesn't cost force. And when he is wounded, he's still not costing force. The only thing that's ever going to cost you force with Mace is his rerolls. And so then what happens is once he gets wounded, you spend a force in order to trigger his reactability. It's just a really, really cool piece, but I don't think the list is quite there. Okay, so Scott, let's talk about Scott, you played two games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about how those games went. Who were you playing against? How did the games go? And then we can kind of break down this list a little bit.
Yeah, so my first game was with Connor, who is Ryan's son.
Yep.
So he was running a Maul and Asajj list.
Okay.
So it was Maul, Gar Saxon, and I think Super Commandos.
Okay.
And then it was Asajj, Bo-Katan, and Kree's Mandos.
Okay, so so Maul, Asajj, and then the Mandos.
Yeah. Okay. Maul, Asajj, Mandos.
Yep.
So you know he kind of went in there as very much a hey, I'm gonna run in. Maul's gonna do all this craziness. I'm gonna be super mobile with the Mandos. The list that I run, obviously Vader Grievous. The one difference that I made, and this is certainly a up for debate change,
yeah,
whether or not this is better, worse, the same,
yeah,
oh, just up to playstyle. But instead of Fifth Brother, I took Mandalorian Super Commandos.
Yeah.
You know, the argument there is it's an extra figure.
Yeah.
Right? You're doing an extra attack. You can kind of go back and forth to different points.
Yep.
They've got the free focus from moving next to each other.
Yep.
Versus Fifth Brother has like more utility.
Yeah. Fifth Brother can literally just solo take a point by jumping on it and pushing everyone away. His
force repulsion is awesome. So I need to do some testing, but that was what I ran on the day.
You also brought up this point, which I think is a good one, that the supes are, most of the time, they're going to be wounded, over-wounded, and so you can take damage on them with Vader, thinking, like, they're going to get one-shot anyway, so, like, I can take damage in order to spike up their power level, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the interesting thing, so the game was pretty even. Went to three struggles. The first struggle was kind of what every first struggle is for an even game, which is, hey, one person's going to get 1 point in, you know, the person that goes second, and then you're just going to trade off 3 points, 3 points, 3 points, 3 points.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah.
Until I got Grievous and Vader going.
Yeah.
Then once they activated, it became go one shot a thing, go one shot a thing, take the points, get my momentum.
Yep.
Just do horrible damage, refresh my force.
Yep.
You know, so I kind of came in and just took that struggle very quickly.
Yeah.
After a lot of back and forth.
Once the queens get going, like, they just take over. Yeah.
Once
the game.
Those two take over, his Maul was kind of went really early.
Yeah. Which
and is so, tough. Yeah. And so I just kind of, I didn't have to deal much with Maul. Vader came in and did wound him, which allowed Maul to wound him back.
Okay.
Kind of with impunity, because Vader can't do anything to a guy who's already injured.
Yeah.
Or already wounded, I should say.
Yeah.
But so I won the first struggle. Second struggle, the card that came up was exactly what he needed. It was really great placement for him. He went first with Maul, who basically came in, wounded someone, and used the mobility from that to get across most of the map.
Yeah, because he's awesome.
To take the two-point guard. So he scored 4 points and wounded someone in the very first turn of Struggle 2.
And you're like, all right.
So I was like, great, I'm going to set up for Struggle 3.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what I thought.
Yep.
You know, played around a little bit, positioned, used Django to capture wire some people into certain areas. And the third struggle, which I felt pretty confident going into, because I'm like, hey, I'm going to have the tempo here.
Yeah, you're going to pick the play.
Went exactly the same way as struggle two, but in my favor.
Yeah.
That it was like, hey, I'm already going to control all these points. Jango Fett came in and did amazing work for me.
Yep.
So basically, jumped him in, I focused, which let me jump. I capture wired Bo-Katan, who was taking a point.
Yep.
I shot Gar Saxon, I shot Gar Saxon, wounded him, which let me refresh force.
Yeah.
Which let me capture wire Bo-Katan off a point, and I scored all 3 points for those 4 points.
Oof, man, that's brutal.
Right? And then it just became, hey, Maul's way off in the weeds.
Yeah.
You know, and all I had to do to win was basically go, I was like, hey, I'm guaranteed to score 3 points.
Yeah.
You know, because it was those situations where, hey, you're 5 away, but if you score 4 or score 3 or whatever it was at the time and wound one person, you'll win.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, great, I got OB2. He's going to run up. I'm going to kill these Mandalorians. It was a good game. It had a lot of good back and forth. The thing is just that in a battle of attrition, my list is just stronger.
Yeah.
It's just...
It's got great offense all the time. Yeah, right?
Just like, super. I mean, that's the thing. With one thing that I observe about why Grievous and Vader, I think it is. I mean, I'm sure there's someone out there who will argue with me.
Yeah.
I think if you do, I would love to know what you're smoking. but Darth Vader is 100% the best figure in the game right now.
Yeah.
It is, in my opinion, not arguable.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to just say, like, hey, on paper, just individually, is Grievous better? Maybe.
Sure.
Is so-and-so better? Maybe. Is just does manage. But the fact that Vader just says, everything in your list can roll 3 extra dice in melee if they take 2 damage, it just becomes... Because you don't have modifications on dice, because you don't have rerolls, the way to hedge bets, the way to increase your odds of success is just to add a lot more dice.
Yeah, roll more dice.
And the ability just to add 3 dice on top of any other dice addition that you get is...
I mean, the thing is that if melee wasn't the strongest kind of archetype in the game, then Vader would obviously be weaker. But because the game favors... Like, the objective spread favors melee figures, Vader's like, oh, we've got this thing that we naturally want to be doing with the strongest archetype. Now I'm just going to make it better.
Right? Yeah. And maybe if...
And like, he's also a great piece on his own.
Yeah. Maybe if the missions changed up or something.
Yeah.
But like, we think about going back to IA, Vader was a super powerful piece, but he was melee, and a lot of what the Empire was doing was really... Even Jet Troopers, you want to be within 2.
Yeah.
So you got to get up close and personal. And ranged was just objectively better.
Yeah.
So...
Because you could be gunned down on the approach, right?
And so Vader, for as powerful as he was in IA, was tuned down because he was doing something in a more niche, harder to... An uphill battle.
Yeah.
Whereas here, melee, there's... Melee is just better.
Yeah.
You're always going to be able to hit someone in melee. Like, it's not hard to be there.
Because there's already enough dynamic movement. Like, you're just doing a lot.
Absolutely. So going into my second game, me and Will discussed a mirror match, but he decided to try out the list that Kenny played against.
I'm super glad he did this.
Yeah. Actually. Cause he did Dooku, Grievous, both the Kalani Kraken and B1s and Magna Guards.
Yep.
So this match, did not go as evenly. This only went to 2 struggles.
Yeah.
And I think at one point Will just said, hey, the writing's on the wall here. We didn't even finish the game, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of what happened here is I went second.
You went second.
I went second.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you can go second with Vader Grievous, go second.
Yeah.
Because...
You can control them crit rolls.
Well, just the fact is that if you can come out, like, you'll be able to reach.
Yeah.
So, essentially, kind of what happens is, you know, he goes first and he goes, I think, with Kalani first. So, like, everything's moving.
Yep.
Right? He gets up. It's the cross pattern to start.
Yep.
He takes the back point. He takes the midpoint.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm sitting pretty.
Yeah.
I'm like, great. You're awesome.
Yeah.
All right. I go, Obi-2. Great. I'm going to go take the point on my right.
Yeah. So you're only got 2 points right now.
Yeah. I've got 2 points. But I score 2 points.
That's true.
Right? He doesn't score anything because he went first.
Yep.
So he says, all right, great. I'm going to activate Grievous.
Yep.
He gets his Magna Guards put up in position. His other Magna Guard basically takes my left...
Okay.
A part of the cross. Yep. So all the points are now claimed.
Yep.
He's got 3. He's having Grievous come up to try and take Obi-Wan out for 2. And I go, great, I'm going to mind trick you. You have no one else to hit.
Oh,
because Obi-2 is stupid.
He's so good.
The fact that you don't get the action refunded is cruel, but also I'm very happy for it.
Yeah.
Although
I mean, you get to blank another attack, and so that's why
But if there is no one to attack.
And the brutal thing there is that, so Grievous comes up and he's going to smack Obi. It's like, okay, mind trick. And now you're engaged with Obi, so you can't perform a ranged attack, right? And so, because he has a ranged attack, but it's like, well, you can't do it because you're engaged with me.
Yeah.
So.
You know, actually, he might have even been making a ranged attack on Obi, too.
Oh, I mean, then it's
but doesn't matter. He still wasn't in range of anyone else.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, you know, he's limited to scoring 3 points. So, again, it's that 3-3-3-3.
Yeah.
I get my Mando Super Commandos, which I think is a lucky draw for me because that's exactly who I want.
Yeah.
They go over... And they're not able to wound the Magna Guards, but they put, like, 6 damage on him, because he split them, which I think you do.
Yeah.
Like, with Vader Grievous, 1 Magna Guard's going with Grievous, and 1's going with Vader.
Yeah.
Because they're offering protection.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And giving him cover, right?
But my Mandalorian Super Commandos, you know, they do 6 damage, but also, they take that point on the left, because it's just, that is another thing. It's like, Fifth Brother can repel, but if you're, like, having to move on to a spot, like, 2 just beats 1.
Yeah.
Right? So they take that point, and again, kind of trading back and forth.
Yeah.
He moves up his droids.
The problem here, though, is he has used Grievous to attack Obi to no effect, and you've still got the point, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like now you're you're at two plus one, and he's at two trying to fight for another one, right?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, basically kind of the way that this plays out is, you know, he's got Grievous here. You know, he's moving some people around, making some positions.
Yeah.
I get Vader, and I go, all right, so Vader has an option, right? One, you know, he came up with I think Magna Guards and pushed Obi-2 off that point.
Yeah.
I've got Vader kind of in position. I was like, all right, Vader can go take the central point from Grievous.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Grievous isn't within two.
Yeah.
But I can try and attack Grievous and take the central point. Or I can go definitely take the Magna Guard.
Yeah.
Like, I'll have to wound him, but it's Vader.
Yeah, it's Vader. He's
right? Take that point. And I go, well, we got to go for Grievous.
Yeah.
Right? Because if you can injure him, like, great. Yeah. You're costing force. Yep. And, you know, it's expensive.
Yep.
So I roll up with Vader.
Because you've Vader's Fury.
Vader's Finest. Which is
such a fun, awesome ability.
Yeah, awesome. Auto 2 damage.
Yep.
You know, I come up at my +3. going into Grievous.
So you got +3 dice, +2 damage.
Yep. I get exactly 9 damage on my dice.
Okay.
So and 3 pushes.
Oh my gosh.
So I wound Grievous and push him 3 spaces back.
Which is brutal.
He gets a dash on his defense, so he does get to move back up a little bit.
Sure.
But still, it's like, all right, so you're off the point.
Yeah.
Or he wasn't even on the point, but you're way off
the point. Yeah.
Right?
And you're wounded.
Vader's in the center.
Yep.
Right? Got 2 damage of 12.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so basically at that point, it kind of becomes like, all right, I think he shatter points Grievous at that point, comes in. I am barely out of range of... Obi-2 to do mind trick.
Oh man, that's a great play though.
Yeah, so that was kind of my intention. It just worked out because he pushed Obi-2, and
oh, I see.
But like my hope was that Obi-2's, because if you can have Obi-2 covering for your Grievous and your Vader,
oh man, that's so good.
Yeah, because it would have ruined his day.
Yeah,
but yeah, you know, he comes in, he brings some people. Essentially, over the next like couple turns, we're fighting over the central point, right? Yeah. So it's like Kraken comes up.
Yeah.
Raider comes up, takes out Vader.
Yeah.
Jango runs up, takes out them, pulls people off the point.
Yeah.
They come push Jango off. Right? Yeah. We're kind of trading back and forth.
This is so awesome.
My Magna Guards come up. And
who have not gone yet.
Who have not gone after basically, you know, they come and kind of position themselves. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah.
Magna Guards are my last thing. I've reserved them.
Okay.
In this list.
Because you want Grievous to, like, lead them up.
If Grievous has not gone, you reserve Magna Guards.
Agreed.
Never activate your Magna Guards first.
Agreed.
So I win the struggle because it just kind of comes like, I keep wounding his people. He's not wounding me enough.
Yep.
I keep scoring. I at one point control 4 points.
Ugh.
Right? To his one.
Yeah.
Because he just can't kick me off.
Yeah.
He just can't.
You're too durable. You're doing too much damage. And you're wounding his bodies that he's bringing up. Right?
Right. And he's bringing Dooku up. Dooku's not doing much.
Dooku's super defensive, but does not have the offense.
Yeah. And Kraken's not doing much. Kind of moving some things around, but they're not really proccing because, like, it's like, well, you can attack Vader, but you can't because he's wounded.
Yeah.
Right? And Jango, you've pushed back. He's pushing people back, so they're not really in range to be attacked.
Yeah.
I win the struggle. We go into struggle two. It's not a great draw for Will.
Yeah.
Right? So essentially...
Has Grievous gone yet?
My Grievous?
Yeah.
My Grievous does go.
Okay.
Grievous is one of the people that I come in. I, like, wound Kraken. Okay. I wound, like... I do a bunch of damage to people. Grievous is a monster.
Yeah.
Basically.
He's just a monster.
Right? Will does wound my Grievous back.
Okay.
So... But we don't care.
Yeah.
You don't care if Grievous gets wounded because he comes in and he does this crazy thing and gets your force back.
Yeah.
And he moved my Magna Guards up.
Yeah.
So we go into the second struggle, and basically now it becomes the greater than symbol.
Okay.
Right? So the bottom right, the left, and the top right point, from my perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
So I go, all right, you know, he brings in his B1s. You know, his B1s takes one of the points.
Yeah.
The other point he can't take because it's a Magna Guard and is contested. He's pushed one of my Mandos away, but it's just a Magna Guard who is currently wounded.
Yeah.
And my Mando, so he's not taking that.
Yeah.
And he can't get to the bottom right. So he scores 1 point.
That's brutal.
Right? It's not even the powerful point.
Yeah.
I just activate my Magna Guards.
Yeah. Who have not gone
yet. Who have not gone.
Yeah.
One of them goes to the bottom right.
Yeah.
The other one gets to the top right.
Oh my gosh.
I attack the B1s.
Yeah.
Wound them.
Oh my gosh.
Get all 4 points.
Oh man. That's brutal.
Yeah.
How did you wound them in one? I mean, they must have taken some damage.
Well, so here's they've taken no damage.
Okay.
So two reasons why you can wound B1s with Magna Guards pretty easily.
Yeah.
Vader.
Yeah, because you're rolling more dice.
And they roll three dice.
I mean, but
also, like, Magna Guards. Okay, remember, Kenny.
Yeah.
If you get three expertise,
yeah,
it's three crits.
Yeah, but like, I didn't even know their damage went up that high. Because how did you get? Because you got two attacks on the B ones. Oh, okay. Well, then.
So I did six on the first and six on the second.
Yeah, okay. That makes total sense.
Yeah. Because you're rolling. Here's the thing, you're rolling nine dice each.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
Magna Guards are incredibly offensive. Yeah. They only have five spots.
Yeah.
But like, those five spots are pretty strong.
Yeah. I mean, you do, like you said, you did six damage and six damage. And so, like, that's wild.
So I took those 4 points and I wounded someone. So I'm already up on momentum.
And he's
four points up.
Yeah.
Right. He kind of comes in and he says, like, so he's got Grievous. He's trying to bring people up. He's trying to position his Magna Guard to basically be able to follow up with Appetite for Destruction.
Yeah.
So he's like, all right, Grievous is going to come up and attack the Magna Guard that I have.
Yeah.
And then his other person, because the bottom right is where he's going, because that's what has become the
hot spot.
The hot spot. And I go, great, I'm going to OB2.
Oh.
Who's wounded.
Oh, man.
But I have, because I've had to refresh. I've refreshed all these. Here you go.
Three
for Mind Trick.
Oh,
and he's like, well, that's fine. I'll attack OB2. And I'm like, great. One, you're minus two dice. And two, your Magna Guard can't get to this other point to contest. And Grievous isn't even range.
Oh, my gosh.
So it just became like, all right, he scored no points.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Right?
That's GG.
Right. And then, you know, yeah, the other place he kind of comes over and pushes. But my Jango Fett, like, capture wires his Kraken away, goes, takes the point.
Yeah.
And at that point, it was just...
Like, that's GG.
You can't... There's too many... So let's kind of transition a little bit. Like, why is it so good? Why is it so strong? I think that Vader Grievous does enough of everything, right? Because you have control lists.
Yep.
You have offensive lists.
Yep.
You have defensive lists.
Yep.
It's just... everything.
Yeah.
Right? Everything is power. Like, there is, I think, I can't remember who said this, if it was you or Will, but basically, there is no dead activation.
Will said that.
Yeah.
And which is such a great observation.
Yeah.
Like, literally, there's no pawns. There's no 501st.
Yeah.
There's no, like, nothing that feels bad to activate.
Yeah.
Everything is doing a ton.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could argue this Mandalorian Super Commandos over Fifth Brother, or like maybe they feel bad, but again, I like my Mandalorian Super Commandos.
Yeah.
I'm going to try a Fifth Brother to see.
Yeah. I think that's kind of just a matter of taste, to be honest.
But the thing is, like, Vader's making everyone super offensive.
Yeah.
Greedo or Grievous is super powerful with,
because,
you know, you're coming in there. Vader with 10 dice, Grievous with 11 dice, with the way their extra dice works, you can't kill them. Or you can't survive.
Yeah, it is very difficult to survive.
I've never seen, and this is variance, and this is something that we'll eventually I will see.
Yeah.
I've never seen Vader not wound someone.
When he attacks?
Yeah. I've just never seen it not happen.
That's funny.
Because he just rolls so many dice.
He does roll. And he's got his plus two damage from Vader's
plus
Spirit.
Plus two damage. You attack him with melee. He does two damage back to you.
Yeah.
You wound him. He hits you with a five die attack.
Like, Vader's awesome.
He's just
such a monster.
Just so good. And Grievous, you know, Grievous's weakness is he's not super defensive.
No.
Right?
Which is why he got Magna Guards.
It's not just that you have Magna Guards, who give cover all the time.
And also OB2.
Yeah. OB2.
Yeah.
That's the thing, is that OB2, to me, you've got these three super powerful. Like, Jango is also super powerful in that Jango is the control.
Yeah.
He's pulling you off points.
Yep.
He's moving around everywhere.
He's wounding people out of activation. So that, like, they thought they were going to be able to do something and they can't.
He is not restricted to wounding force users, recover force.
Yeah.
And so he's recovering for... You've got two force recovery in a list that I'm not going to call super force hungry.
Yeah.
But pretty dang force hungry.
I mean, you want to be using all of that force, right?
I mean, Mind Trick...
Cost two. Three once he's wounded.
Yeah. And so... And, like, Mind Trick is just... off most of the time, depending on your opponent's list, they're not attacking someone else.
Which is brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine Grievous not being able to attack, right?
Yeah.
Like, you've got 11 dice. I mean, it's 8 dice without Vader, but you got 8 dice. He's going to wound somebody, and Obi's like, no, you're not, right?
And you know, the thing is that this list is not punished this way. One of the things that I think, in general, with Shatterpoint strategy, because the activations are, quote-unquote, random, you know... People say, well, I got to make the best. Like, I think the biggest consideration that you have to learn with your list is, what can I afford to activate now?
Yeah.
Or what do I need? Because there are times where it's like, hey, I don't want to activate this thing now, but I really don't want to activate this other thing.
Yeah.
But, like, the other two cards left in my deck, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the math there? But reserving, because it costs a force, is a you know, kind of a big detriment.
You have to be careful. You have to just be very careful in thinking about
that. Right? You might, you know, cost yourself out of being doing something important with the figure.
Yep.
Which is, I think, one of the problems with Anakin, because he often goes last.
Yeah.
But he has a very high force power.
Yes.
But you have to spend force with the clones
yes.
to get them to do things. And so you often don't have enough for him
yeah.
by the time you're activating
Agreed.
Him.
Anakin is like the most, he's obviously the most, besides Asajj maybe, the most force hungry figure in the game. He's like even more force hungry than Asajj.
Yeah.
And so.
But the thing is, when you have Jango and Grievous.
Yeah, man.
Who cares? I'll just get it back. I have on every game, not after stuff started getting wounded, but in every game, I actually once spent a force because, well, I'm about to refresh it and I don't have anything else to do with
it. Yeah.
Because I had extra force, which is just unheard of.
Yeah, I have noticed that. I mean, like, so, like, we're talking about the strengths of the list, and, like, it's interesting because it feels like lists, the designers of Shatterpoint are trying to build these kind of archetypes in terms of thinking, like, what are people supposed to be able to do? And so, like, the Seps, what they're doing is they're doing a lot of out of activation movement and offense. The Mandos are very mobile, right? You know, and like jumping up places. You've got control abilities with Jango and Obi-2 and Magnas, and you know, there are other figures. Oh, Asajj obviously has awesome control. There's durability, and that's like where you've got Lumi and just like these kind of tankier units, and then you have high consistent offense. The thing about Vader Grievous is that it has all of these things.
Yeah.
You have the best offense in the game. Their durability, I mean, they don't have Lumi and like endless healing power, but all of their units are super durable. Grievous is taking 2 damage in order to, you know, roll these extra dice, but when he wounds someone, he heals it, right?
Yeah.
And so it's just Jango is healing. The Magna Guards have a heal on their combat tree. I mean, there's just like it's a very durable list. It's not like a controlled defense durable list, but it is durable in that everyone has a ton of HP. Vader's a monster to attack into, especially at range.
Absolutely.
So, or I'm sorry, especially at melee, and so it's just very strong. Their mobility is awesome. I mean, that's mostly Grievous and the Magnas. You know, doing, I mean, that is just kind of, we've figured out that's kind of enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, Grievous and the Magnas, like, they had that movement and the mobility. Yeah. Like, your Magnas just go everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And the Magnas, when they attack, they can just completely clear the board.
They have so much. They're one of, I think, they might be the strongest, just in terms of offensive power,
yeah,
supporting unit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, their offense is awesome. Their repositioning is awesome. They're just so good. Yeah. And
they,
like,
just can't work on their own.
No, they need Grievous. Like, I mean, Magnas are so good that, like, you know, JK, in a game we played, he was running Magnas with Maul, and he was, like, floating a point just because they were so good. That was mostly because he didn't really, like, know what else to bring. They're so good. And then, like Scott said, they've got incredible economy and incredible control. Obi-2, Jango, and Magnus are going to move your enemy opponents all over the board. And, man, I mean, Obi-2, it sounds like he just breaks backs.
I mean,
right?
So Obi-2 with Mind Tree is just, like, the thing is that depending especially on positioning,
yeah,
if they're having to deal with, like, Obi-2 is going to mind trick my attack.
Yes.
Because, you know, the idea is, like, you've got these 2 queen pieces. I got to deal with them.
Yep.
But, like, Obi-2 is going to be like, no, I'm going to mind trick you.
Yes.
It's like, oh, but you're engaged with Magna Guards. You can't attack them anyway.
Yeah.
Man. Or, oh, you're not, but they're within 2, so they do get cover.
Yeah. It feels so bad. Yeah.
I think one thing I want to touch on is just, it's like, because someone asked this in the Slack when we were talking about how much we think this list, like, just succeeds.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, how do you beat it?
Yeah.
And my answer was a mirror match.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But I think there are a couple things to think of. I don't know that these are not like, well, here's how you do it. It's like, hypothetically, based on experience, like, here's what I would do.
Yeah.
And also, here's some of the figures that I think would be good. So I think Maul is actually really, I'm not going to say it's, like, a good counter, but it's like, if they're attacking, like, Maul's taking a ton of damage. Like, I one-shot Maul. He got, like, I injured him twice.
Yeah.
But it's like, he does so much damage.
Yeah.
The more damage he takes.
And he's getting, and they're all hitting melee, which is giving him his riposte.
And when you wound him, he's hitting them back.
Yeah, exactly.
And, like, they're that's all they can do. So, Maul is going to get really, really powerful that way.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, it's a little bit mirror, but, like, Jango, anything with a capture wire, anything. So I don't think Asajj is up to snuff in a lot of ways, but just, like, force push is really powerful. So, like, Barriss or, like, something that can, like, position people, because the thing is, if you can get Obi-2 away,
yeah, Oh, that's a great point. Block.
Yep. Or Vader or Grievous out of range of a Magna Guard or out of range of Obi-2.
Yeah.
And then you can really hit them really hard.
Yeah.
I will add to that. I think if you're targeting Vader or Grievous, it's a mistake. I think you target Obi-2 first.
Yeah.
One thing is that Obi-2 can use that ability on himself.
Yep.
And then you're attacking Grievous or Vader, but it's with two fewer dice. But you are getting to attack them.
That is... That's the thing. That Mind Trick is just... I love Obi-2. And I want that ability to be really good. Because his offense is not great. I think he's like maxing out at 7 damage or something like that.
No, he's pretty okay if you've got 3 extra dice.
I mean, that's he is consistently doing like good damage. I wouldn't. He's not doing like 14
damage. He's not doing spike single but kill damage.
Mind Trick is an ability that I think could become a serious problem. Because it's so good.
Yeah. And Run isn't bad either.
Run's like, awesome, right?
The thing is that most of the time it's going to be used on him. Because
your other people need to be engaged.
They need to be engaged if you want to use it on them. So, but here's the thing. If you're engaged with someone that you don't want to be engaged with, Obi-2 can be like, all right, I'm going to yeet Vader out of here.
Yep. 100%. I mean, it's just such a... Man, it's just, like, it's just really interesting to have this list that you think is like, oh, this list is just about beatdown. And it's like, no, that's not what this list is doing. Like, this is... It has good control, great economy. Incredible control, really. Yeah. And great economy. It's just like kind of like... well-rounded and is doing everything very well, especially offense.
It should also be noted, and I think this is also one of the things I like about Luminara, is that when you're wounded or your opponents are wounded, you get benefits.
Yeah.
And I think like one of the things is that when you wound an opponent, you know, there's not a, you know, you get the momentum.
Yeah.
And obviously they're not controlling.
Yeah.
But that's everybody gets that.
Yeah.
With this, if you do it with Grievous or Jango,
oh, man,
you're getting huge benefits. Grievous is healing. That's the thing. Grievous is going to wound you if he's using Vader.
Yeah.
Guess what? That 2 damage he just took?
He just heals it off.
Yeah. Or there were times when it's like, oh, I get an auto heal from this. I'll just get rid of those nasty conditions you gave me.
Yep, 100%.
You want to strain me? You want to expose me?
Yep.
Also, Obi-2 being immune to expose is fantastic.
It's so good. He's I like the great thing about Obi-2 is, one is, I mean, he's just like, he's solid on just like a host of margins that just make him a really good piece by himself or in a bubble. Like, he's strong defensively. He can, like, he's mostly a controlled defense piece, but he's just like bringing so much to the table, right? And like, and forces your opponent to like be thinking about all of these things. Like when I've played against Obi-2, the entire time you're thinking like, okay, so if I'm going to move here and he's going to mind trick because he's got 4 force or whatever left. Like, what am I going to do, right? Like, what's the play? Because if you move up Grievous, you attack, and you mind trick, and now you're not taking a point and you have wasted a Grievous attack. Like, it is very tough to come back from that.
One of the things, I don't remember who said this to me. It might have been Will.
Yeah.
I think we're just giving Will a lot of credit.
I mean, tonight. Will has thought about this list a lot.
But it might have been, because this is something that applies, it might have been someone else entirely talking about, I think I might have been playing Warhammer with someone, but the idea is that in war games, in skirmish games, really just in any competitive game, your goal is to give your opponent a choice between 2 awful things.
Yeah. Ask the hard questions.
Yeah. Right?
Make them answer it.
And just say like, hey, you can attack Obi-2.
Yeah.
But then he's just going to ignore you.
Yeah.
And like, you can attack someone else with reduced dice. Or you can take Vader and just not get to attack at all.
Yeah.
You know, like... It just becomes like, I think Obi-2 just represents this like, well, I think the list is oppressive.
I think it is oppressive. I think it's a list. It is oppressive, and because it's doing everything well. It's not just beating you down, but like this Obi-2 moment that Will had twice in a game against you. That's hard, man. Like, that's hard to like come back from, right?
Yeah, and to be fair, you know, we have played fewer than 10 games with these.
With this list, yeah.
With this list. And, you know, Curtis on the Slack said, like, hey, I play Vader Grievous. It can definitely lose.
I mean, he was, like, playing against Sam, who is, like,
the best. Sam is very, very good.
Sam is so good, right?
Right, but also there's a thing of, like, no list is unbeatable.
Sure.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But I just think about, like, especially because I was trying to make, like, Anakin clones work, and then I did, like, Vader Luminara.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw how Grievous Dooku, and I'm just like... All of these lists have obvious pitfalls that, like, this list, like, I can't think... Like, yeah, you can lose, but is that because you didn't pilot it well or because there's just another good list?
Yeah, you'd also just have variants, right? Where it's like, your list, your variance doesn't
work. You didn't roll very well.
Yeah, exactly. Your
opponent rolled super well.
Yeah.
But, like, here's the thing. With Vader Grievous, I, on more than one occasion, on 5 defense dice, rolled 5 failures, and it did not change the outcome.
Yeah, that's brutal. That's absolutely brutal. One list that we've kind of talked about on the Slack as maybe not a counter. I mean, it's the most defensive, like, kind of controlly thing that we can think of is running Ahsoka Dooku. And so what you're doing here is you've got Ahsoka Obi-2 B2s, Dooku, Jango, Magna Guards. And the idea there is that they don't, it's very tough for them to wound anybody. It's kind of inverting the offense power of your opponent, trying to use it against them. His theory is that offense is always better than defense in most war games, in most well-designed war games, which I think is right, because he's like, if you have too strong of defense, then it just makes for boring games. Like, you want people to be going down, or like offense, you want offense to matter, right?
You want the cool thing to happen.
You want the cool thing to happen. That's exactly right. And so this list kind of like might blunt it, but I don't think it's enough personally, but I would love to play
it. So I think if it, obviously I made my recommendations of what I think based on people playing against me and thinking like, well, what did I not want to see?
Yeah.
But like, I think Ahsoka, because Obi-2 is going to do the same thing where it's like, hey, Vader, Grievous, you don't get to attack.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, obviously that's going to be good. And Ahsoka, they are going to take that, like, I'm wounding all your stuff. It's like, yeah, I know, which is why I'm healing and moving.
Yeah, exactly. Right? And so, I want to try it, at the very least. I think Scott's right, where it's like, it was Janway who asked, like, you know, what's the play? It's like the mirror match. I do think that, like, for the, until, like, Handmaidens comes out, right? Because everything, like, and also, like, Mace is a really strong piece.
We haven't seen it against Talzin.
Yeah. And Talzin is an incredible control piece. So I think that it is absolutely the case that we could see, like, a lot of counterplay. Talzin Dooku, that seems also really strong. But, like, we can see a lot of counterplay coming out. But just right now, it's really strong. And if you, like, I would actually say that you probably should not be, like, running this all the time unless you are, like, playing to win, because, like Scott says, it can lead to some real feel bads. And so, like, if you're trying to grow the community, don't play this list.
Yeah, right? Well, it's funny because I played the list and Connor looked at me because he'd played against Will playing it.
Yeah.
And he looked out at me and he said, like, ah, oh, great.
Yeah.
It's like, please lose.
He knows the score.
Yeah. It was just like, and like the whole time it was like, you know, and he was a good sport. There was nothing unsportsmanlike about this.
Yeah.
But he was just like, you could see the exasperation of just like, I can't even get, like, Grievous, man. Like you just come, or Vader, man. Like, just come up and, like, and I felt that, you know, where it's just sort of like, I don't know how to deal. It's one thing if dice blow your way or don't blow your way. And here's the thing. He rolled very well, and I did not. Like,
but you're rolling so many dice.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you know, and it's interesting because it is a matter of criticals.
Yeah.
Because I have, in my experience, unless you're rolling a ton of dice or you get lucky, most of the time your regular hits are just never going through.
Yeah.
It's all just like, well, how many criticals did you get?
Yeah.
That's how many hits you got.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just became the thing of like, I didn't need that much.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Vader does 5 damage with 2 hits.
Yep. He's trucking, man.
With Vader's finest, that becomes 7.
Yeah. That's wounding like so many. That's wounding clone.
If you get 3 hits with Vader and you have Vader's finest, that will wound almost any figure in the game.
Which is just
incredible. Any unit, I should say, really.
Yeah.
I mean, and like Grievous just takes one more.
Yeah.
So, obviously, if you're not using Vader's finest, like that changes because you're not doing the auto damage. But again, it's really not like, because Vader's got, I think, if you get 4 precision, that's 2 crits and 2 auto damage.
Yeah.
So,
man, that's so, wow, that's, yeah, it's a very strong list. So, I mean, like I said, I would not recommend playing this, like, as, you know, don't play this consistently if you're trying to grow your community. But, like, if you have a tournament that's coming up and you're like, I want to win, play this list.
Right? I also think that, you know, if you are doing, like, there is something we said when, and this is what I think is great about AMG.
Yeah.
And about, like, the way they've designed it. Because I think this is true with MCP as well, is, like, do thematic nights.
Totally.
Do, like, hey, like, let's do all Galactic Republic. Like, if you do a list, like, do everything aligned.
Yeah.
That might benefit the Separatists a little too much.
I mean, I think the Seps just win. But, like, yeah.
Or just say, like, hey, like Will has this idea to do, like, a draft. Like, let's draft characters. Or just say, or honestly, if you want to have a ban list of just, like, hey, guys, today, let's not see Vader.
Yeah. Or let's not see Vader Grievous, right? Like, you can break up how they used to do it with Destiny was, they did their restricted list where you couldn't do, like, 2 cards that were the same.
Yeah, yeah, you couldn't do.
And so you can do one of them, but you can't do both of them, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's how So the way AMG hasn't restricted any characters, okay, but they have restricted missions.
Okay.
And they have restricted team tactics cards.
Okay.
So basically there are things that are on the restricted list, yeah, and there are things that are on the banned list.
Okay.
So the restricted list is like, hey, restricted, you can't have more than two of these in your roster.
Okay.
Banned, obviously just...
Yeah, can't run it.
Can't run it.
It's gone.
So with this, like, the game doesn't have like a command deck kind of,
yeah, mechanic. It's also, it's too, the game is really young, right?
Yeah. I think what you could do is you could do a restricted list. Like, say, Vader is on the restricted list, Grievous is on the restricted list, Maul is on the restricted list.
Yeah.
And just say, like, any figure on the restricted list, like, any primary. So you only restrict primaries, probably.
Yeah.
And you just say, like, any primary on the restricted list cannot be in a strike force with another primary on the restricted,
yeah,
list.
Yeah, right. Like, I think that's a...
And AMG is really good, like, so about nerfs and buffs. I have never really objected to a nerf or a buff they've done. I've never thought, like, this was unnecessary or this was bad.
Yeah.
They will release new cards with them. They do them pretty frequently.
Yeah.
And well, not even just frequently, but they do it timely.
Yeah.
Like, it's not been... Like, with IA, it was like, all right, we're all sort of done with the game by the time you did a fix that was didn't work.
Yeah, whatever. Because, right? Like, what happened with IA was... So, we came into IA kind of, like, in the midpoint of the life cycle, in terms of the skirmish game. And it was... It became clear... Like, they released this set called Jabba's Realm, which was really good, kind of changed the game, right? Like, made Hunters really good. Yeah. And then...
But it wasn't great for the meta because everything just became Hunters.
Everything became Hunters. And then they released this next box called...
Heart of the Empire.
The Lethal... Oh, no, I wasn't. That was Heart of the Empire. That's, yep, right. Which was kind of the Empire fix box. And like,
but also literally, it fixed Han.
It did also fix Han. We're literally, though, we're talking about like years. Like, it's like a year from like one of these fixes to the other. And so that was just a very... That was a hard... It was hard to play in those kind of metas, right?
Yeah. Well,
whereas, like, AMG has been a lot more aggressive.
I mean, they had rotation with missions and things, so there were things. But, yeah, it just becomes, like, we're dealing with this.
Yes.
You know, it's like you're dealing with 8 events.
Yeah.
With these issues.
Yeah.
In a given year.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how they're going to be with Shatterpoint in terms of fixes. Like, I can see them just updating cards online and then giving you free-to-print. Like, print-to-play cards.
Sure.
And then they'll probably release, like, a little pack of just, like, here's all the new cards. Here's... Vader only adds 2 dice instead of 3 dice.
Yeah.
And it only takes 1 damage, right?
Oh, you can't do it. Like, that's... Yeah, that's probably even better. 1 damage for 2 dice?
I guess, yeah. Or, do you know what you could do?
What?
Vader, you can take up to 3 damage to roll as that many dice.
That's... See, there you go.
So you increase
That's a great idea.
Because there are times when it's like, hey, Grievous only has 2 health left. I'm not going to wound him to do this attack.
Yeah, that's a cool fix. And so,
but, you know, it's hard to see because, like, how long do you... I'm sure they have what they would consider Wave 1.
Yes.
Like, although Wave 1 is, like, all the release, and we're probably in Wave 2. But, like, you have, like, here's our 4 quarters of releases.
Yes.
Let's look at nerfs after. Because, like, hey... Maybe Padme fixes the Vader issue, right? I don't see how it will, but maybe she'll calm him down.
Yeah. Like, when you're adding more factors, like, that just kind of, like, the players like us are like, you should address this. And AMG's like, we know what's coming down the line. We're not saying that what has coming down the line is going to fix it, but it might. So, like, just hold the phone.
And
right?
One of the things, and this is what Kenny and I were talking about this yesterday after the event. What I think is great about MCP that I think is sort of informing Shatterpoint a little bit is that, unlike IA, we keep talking about IA.
It was important to us. We played it for a long time.
Is that game got really faction specific because you were faction locked?
Yes.
To what you could take.
Yes.
And there was a little bit of cross faction play, but it was not good because
it was also pretty much the same figures.
It was the same figures.
Yeah.
It was just the optimal thing to do.
Yeah.
And because of that, there was just like, here's these key things that are just the best thing.
Yeah.
Whereas in, you know, MCP, you've got, hey, we've got these characters with leadership abilities. And if you take affiliated characters, so like, hey, if, you know, of your 5 figures in your like squad that you're taking, if 3 of them are Avengers,
yep,
you can be an Avengers list.
Yep.
And the other 2 can be whatever you want.
Yep.
Right?
Which is a really cool way to kind of like manage that.
Like, so it's like you'll get access to the extra thing, but there is no restriction on list building.
Yeah.
You have the threat cost. You have your threat value that you can build up to, and that's the restriction. You have a roster of 10 that you can build a squad from. So each game in a tournament can be different. Yeah. Like, you're running different figures. So, like, that's nice to break up the monotony a little
very
bit.
Very cool idea.
Which is the same with Shatterpoint. Like, you're playing different things in a tournament setting. Yeah. But because, like, yeah, some people thematically are like, Captain America and the Red Skull would never work together. And it's like, dude, it's comics. Everyone has worked with everyone at a different time.
Also, it's all fantasy. Make-believe, my friends.
Right, yeah. But, you know, the idea is that because of that, you have so many permutations. Billions of different options for squad building and, like, roster building.
Yep.
That it's really hard to say, here is the list that just wins.
Yeah, there are strong figures, but, like, it's not, that's not how it works.
I mean, we see, like, at LVO, we saw a lot of Brotherhood.
Yeah.
You know? And we saw
that cat guy.
Quite a bit of, what?
The guy riding the cat.
Oh, Malekith?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cabal. That was the affiliation, right? So we see a lot of, but also, they nerfed Malekith to deal with some of his problems.
Okay.
Still great.
Yeah.
But they nerfed him. They nerfed him, like, 2 months after he came out.
Oh, wow.
It was really quick.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Because he was so oppressive.
Yeah.
That
gives me a lot of, like, hope.
Yeah. But, you know, one of the ways is they've said, like, hey, if you take him in this faction with this affiliation, you can kind of get back some of that craziness.
Okay.
But now he's locked to this thing, so you might be taking suboptimal somewhere else to really lean into him.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right? And it's just like, okay, well, I have 200 different figures to choose from to try and deal with Malekith.
Yeah.
And I don't have to bring them every time.
Yeah.
I can, like, hey, I'm going to play with this core. Here's, like, my sideboard. So I think with that, with Shatterpoint, the fact that it's like, hey, there's some era restriction, but even not really, because, like, yeah, your squad has to be all era compliant.
Each of your, like, things has to be.
Right. But, like, you can take a Galactic Republic era with a, like, Galactic Empire era.
Yeah.
As long as they're all cohesive.
Yeah.
So you just have so many options that I think the meta is, in my opinion, less likely to get stale, less likely to be oppressed by one list.
Yeah, I think, and that's obviously the case, especially as more stuff comes out. So, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how the cookie crumbles over the next few months. Like, in the lead up to LVO, assuming we can get a tournament, you know. You know what I also was thinking? It'd be kind of a fun this is a cool premier format where you bring four lists and your opponent gets to ban one. So instead of it being the case that you bring your premier list and you have to play one of those lists, that you bring your four and your opponent gets to ban one. So you bring Vader, Grievous, and it's like, hey, I ban Vader, right? Yeah. Like, run your Grievous Dooku, which is still super good, but not that good, right? And so that's a really interesting idea. What do you think about that?
Well, I would say, though, what you do is you say you can only ban... one of the lists can only be banned once.
Oh man, that's, I mean.
So it's like the person
someone's gonna get, like, the sweet ride, and everyone else has to fall on the sword.
Right? Or even you just say, like, hey, if I want to play you later in the day, I don't want to play this list.
Yeah.
But I'll play it now.
Yeah.
The stakes are different.
This is an interesting. I'm gonna think about this a little bit. But okay, here's the thing. Vader, super good. Vader Grievous. Really good. It's a super strong list. And it's also, again, it's doing a lot of fun things. You're doing a lot of control. It's a fun list to play. It really is.
It is. It's also really up my playstyle. So, like, for the health of the game, I want people to figure out how to fight it.
Yeah.
But for my own enjoyment, squirm.
Yeah.
And fail.
I mean,
flee before me.
The thing is Scott, he says it's his style because it's a very in-your-face, kind of aggressive kind of list. He ran Vader when we played IA. I don't know what you play in MCP, like, if it's a similar kind
of
thing.
So I do a few different things, but I play a lot of Brotherhood.
Is that an aggressive, in-your-face kind of list?
Kinda, yeah.
I mean, the thing is though, I would also say that Vader Grievous is not, like, exactly my style, but it has a lot of things that I like in terms of control and mobility. So
Kenny is very much a control player, which is why everyone hates him. He doesn't play Magic, but he is a blue player through and through in his blood.
So OB2 is, like, my perfect figure, right?
Yeah.
Not, like, great, not good offense, not great offense, but, like, a lot of really cool, like, positional, like, control things. Like, that's my jam. All I'm saying is this list has a lot of fun. Like, you should play this list in order to have fun with it. And it's a really strong list, right? Like, that's kind of all we're saying. So, okay. So, with that being the case, we want to thank everyone for listening. We hope everyone has an awesome week. Please join the Slack, rate and review the podcast, and make sure to respond to the poll question that we've got.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, guys.